God is Reaching Out to You by John M. Stevenson. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God is reaching out to you with his love and plan for your life, but you must choose to have his plan for yourself. His plan answers and fulfills the two basic questions of life. 1. Why did God put me on the earth? God placed you on the earth so that you can grow towards becoming spiritually mature throughout your lifetime. This maturity is to be developed by trusting God to guide you through the trials and testings of life using his character qualities rather than your own. 2. What happens to me after I die? God desires you to be with him in eternity, and this will happen if you accept his plan. If you choose not to accept his plan, you will remain separated from him to suffer punishment throughout eternity because of your sin. His plan can be yours, but you must believe that God exists and accept his plan by your faith. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is an infinite, living, perfect being with perfect holiness, righteousness, glory, grace, mercy, and love. Since God is perfect, his plan is perfect. No other plan can be better. Therefore, there are no alternatives to his plan. Summary. God's plan began by placing Adam as the first man on the earth in the Garden of Eden. He was placed in fellowship with God and was given a test to obey him or choose his own way. He chose to disobey, and it resulted in him losing fellowship with God, being separated from him and receiving a fallen, sinful nature. This fallen, sinful nature is one that seeks to do the will of man rather than the will of God. This nature is passed on in inheritance to all persons as they are born into the world. As a result, you were born with a fallen, sinful nature and out of fellowship with God. The world that you live in was developed apart from God using the sin natures of mankind. Therefore, it appears to be ungodly. Having a fallen, sinful nature gives you two problems. 1. You are without ability to seek after God and become spiritually mature as God desires. This is because you are spiritually dead to the true things of God. 2. You break spiritual laws, and God's justice requires a penalty that you are unable to pay. This action is called transgressing the laws of God, or sinning. If something does not happen to you before you die, you will not fulfill God's intended plan. You are to know that God's justice requires that you suffer punishment for your sin throughout eternity, separated from him. From birth, you are unable to fulfill God's plan and are living outside of his plan. God knew this would happen, and as part of his plan, has made provisions to satisfy his justice on your behalf and enable you to grow towards maturity. This booklet presents the answers to both questions of life, the solutions to your two problems, and the details of God's plan and how you can choose and have his plan for your life. You can avoid God's punishment for your sin. God speaks to you through his Holy Bible. God communicates his plan for your life in his Holy Bible called Scriptures, so you can learn and accept it for yourself. He gives information and instructions for how to receive his love, choose him, and enter his plan. This will allow you to live under his authority and by his ways. His scriptures will guide you in every area of your life. They will allow you to grow to spiritual maturity as you learn to live by his perfect righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In this manner, you will live the life he intends in relationship with him and everyone if you seek him, his kingdom, and righteousness first. This will allow him to have first place in your life. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Doing this, your life attitudes and experiences will come from His character, His will, His commandments, and His righteousness. This will result in your worshiping and glorifying Him and becoming the person He desires. Worshiping God means that you accept Him as a perfect being and desire to obey Him in every area of your life. Glorifying God means that you desire to honor Him in all that you think and do. The authority for what is written in this booklet is God's Holy Bible, which is His only standard for our conduct, life, and eternal hope. God's standard is necessary to know and distinguish truth from error. God has an eternal plan for your life. A, that you will grow towards becoming spiritually mature as Christ to live by God's character and values. Why did God put you on the earth? God placed you on the earth with a desire and purpose that you become spiritually mature. This means you will live like the Lord Jesus Christ does, using God's character and value system. Having this maturity, your life is centered in glorifying and worshiping God. You will desire to obey Him from your love for Him in every area of your life, as the Scriptures teach. From this love, you will learn to live unselfishly by serving Him and other people to make them successful in life with God. Becoming spiritually mature, you will be learning to trust God to direct your life rather than depending upon yourself. It is living life by faith, depending upon God to work all things together for your ultimate good. Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Matthew 22:37-38. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. When you live this way, your life will have the fruit of our characteristics He intends. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. God's plan for your life is that He continues to guide you to learn to live by His perfect character qualities as you grow towards becoming the person He intends. B, that you will be with Him in eternity forever. What happens to you after you die if you choose His plan? God wants you to be with Him in eternity after your death and resurrection. It will be a place of perfect living conditions, which He calls a new earth. It will be surrounded by a new heaven and will include a new city called the New Jerusalem. There will be no grief, pain, or sorrow. Joy and happiness will be present there forever. God desires to carry out this plan on your behalf after your death, resurrection, and final judgment. Revelation 21:1-4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among men, and they shall be His people. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. In this eternal place, God has a wonderful plan for your future life. He will reveal many new things about His righteousness and Himself. There you can enjoy, glorify, praise, and worship Him forever. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. God's plan for your life includes your being with Him forever. However, you were born separated from God and outside of His plan. You were born with a nature that is without the ability to fulfill God's plan. You were born spiritually dead, separated from God, and outside His plan with a nature that does not naturally seek to know Him. You are without ability and understanding to do good, obey, and please Him. As a result, you are unable to develop the spiritual maturity that God desires in preparation for eternity. This is because you cannot trust him to guide your life by his character and value system. You can only use your own. Romans 3:11b and 12b. There is none who seeks for God. There is none who does good. There is not even one. You were born with a nature that causes you to break God's laws, which prevents you from being with him in eternity. Your nature also causes you to break or transgress God's laws throughout your lifetime. The Bible calls this sin, or sinning. God's laws deal with your relationships with him and other people. You transgress his laws because you live by your imperfect nature, character, and value system. You cannot obey God, for your nature has no righteousness, and its value system is completely opposed to the laws of God. Therefore, it causes you to break the laws of God, which requires God to bring you judgment after your death to satisfy his justice for his holiness. Romans 6:23a, for the wages of sin is death. This situation keeps you separated from God. God desires that the relationship and fellowship with him be reestablished that was broken in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, you need reconciliation to God in order to fulfill his plan for your life and to avoid his coming judgment. Reconciliation means that God's justice for your sin has been satisfied and that you are living obeying him in fellowship. God has provided the means for this reconciliation to himself as part of his plan. You may not look at yourself as being a sinner. You may believe that you do not sin or break the spiritual laws of God. You may feel you are basically a good person. You may feel the wrongs you perform are insignificant compared to gross sins such as murdering or stealing. In other words, you may not think of yourself as a lawbreaker or a sinner. Or you may think that God gave you a brain and expected you to use it to grow mature through your occasional mistakes. You may reason that these mistakes are not sin and are simply part of the learning and developing process for your life. Or you may think that you are a sinner because of the way you live your life. You may know that you are living wrong but cannot do much about it even though you are trying to be a good person. God declares that all persons are sinners and calls sinning falling short of God's glory or perfection. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God tells you that if you break one of his laws, you are as guilty as if you had broken them all. There will be a penalty whether you break one or all. Therefore, God treats you as a sinner regardless of the number or nature of the laws that you break. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. You are to know that you are a sinner and your sin is wrong. You are transgressing the laws of God. This requires you to be judged. The Bible shows that you are a sinner by the way you manage and live your life. You are born without the ability to live the way God desires. Therefore, you try to manage your own life to be what you desire, do what you desire, and have what you desire. In other words, you run your life the way you desire according to your personal values and what is right in your own eyes. But this living is sin and is not from God. It is living independent of him. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, doing what one desires, and the lust of the eyes, having what one desires, and the boastful pride of life, being what one desires, is not from the Father, God, but is from the world. Living the way you desire, you establish your own kingdom, authority, and value system. You do this rather than submit to his kingdom authority and live by his righteousness. In other words, your life's direction and actions come from your inner self or sin nature rather than from the person of God. Since only God is righteous, you cannot live a life without breaking spiritual laws, which is to sin. Therefore, you are a spiritual lawbreaker or sinner. All people are unrighteous. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. God is righteous. Psalm 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. God alone is righteous and lives a perfect life. The Bible shows you that you are a sinner by the fruits or deeds of your life. You can know positively that you are a sinner by the fruit or deeds of your life. Signs that you have broken the spiritual laws of God are Proverbs 6, 16 through 18. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers, people. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:5. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. All people have experienced some of the above. The Bible is right in declaring that you are a lawbreaker or sinner. It is right in declaring that you are a sinner and cannot glorify and worship God and grow to spiritual maturity using your own abilities, thoughts, and deeds. Being a sinner and lawbreaker demonstrates you are in need of spiritual maturity. A person of perfect spiritual maturity does not sin. Only God has perfect maturity. You have no righteousness or capability to satisfy God's justice for your breaking his spiritual laws. Because of your nature, you are unable to do anything that will satisfy God's justice or rectify the situation for breaking his spiritual laws. Romans 3:20a. Because by the works of the law, by the deeds of men, no flesh, no person, will be justified in his sight. Being justified means to be declared free of blame. Therefore, your nature causes you to have two problems that prevent you from entering and fulfilling God's plan for spiritual maturity and being with him in eternity. These problems are: 1. You were born unable to seek after God, trust him to guide your life, and live in obedience to him. This prevents you from obeying his spiritual laws and growing in spiritual maturity. 2. You are unable to satisfy the demands of God's justice for your breaking of his spiritual laws. This is necessary to enter heaven, be with God forever, and avoid suffering everlasting punishment. You are without ability to change your situation. Therefore, in yourself, you are without hope to be in God's desired plan for your future. And if something does not happen to your life before your death and judgment, you will suffer for the works of your sin, and you will be forever separated from God. You are without ability to satisfy or pay God's justice for your breaking of God's laws, and to grow to spiritual maturity. God, however, has provided solutions to both problems which require your cooperation. 1. God satisfied or met the demands of his own justice on your behalf when his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin and was bodily resurrected from the dead. God places this satisfaction of his justice to your personal account when you believe that he did this based solely on the authority of the Scriptures. Romans 4:25. He, Christ, who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. When this happens, God's condemnation for your breaking spiritual laws is removed from you. This makes you reconciled to him. 2. God enables you, when you accept the work of Christ on the cross for your personal behalf, to learn to live by his righteousness and become the person he intends. He gives you understanding of his Scriptures and the desire to obey them to do his will. This enablement the Bible calls being born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Becoming born again, you can now progress to spiritual maturity as you respond to God's guidance. Being born again, you have received salvation. You were saved from a life apart from God to a life with God. You are to know what happens to you after you die. A. God's judgment for your life follows your death without giving you another opportunity to choose Him. You now have the opportunity to have God's justice satisfied and placed to your personal account in God's book. After your death, it is too late. You must accept God's satisfaction of His justice by the work of Christ before you die. After your death will come His judgment for the works of your sins, and the state of your soul at that time is the state you will have forever. Hebrews 9:27, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." 2 Corinthians 6:2b, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." B. There are two different resurrections in the final judgment. God has two different resurrections in the final judgment. The choice that you make before your death regarding Christ determines which one you will be in. One resurrection will be for those who by God's grace have had His divine justice satisfied and placed to their personal account by personal choice. They will be raised to live with God forever. Two, the other will be for those who have remained under God's condemnation for sin. Since they cannot satisfy God's justice for their sin, they will remain under the penalty of God's justice forever. They will be raised to judgment and eternal separation from God. John 5:28-29. "Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear His voice and shall come forth. For those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, for those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Your beliefs concerning Christ before you die determine which resurrection you will be in. The following pages are steps or personal beliefs that are necessary for you to be reconciled to God and to enter His desired plan. In summary, His plan provides for you to 1. Have the penalty for your breaking of spiritual laws paid for and the removing of His condemnation. 2. Receive divine enablement to grow to spiritual maturity and in the future to live with Him throughout eternity. Remember, God holds you accountable for your acceptance or rejection of His plan. Romans 1:19-20, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, everyone. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, created, so that they, everyone, are without excuse." If you do not accept His plan, you will be without excuse in the day of judgment, and you will suffer eternal punishment for your sin. Step 1. Believe the authority for God's plan is only the Holy Bible. Believe the Holy Bible is inspired by God and is His only ultimate authority on the earth. Therefore, base your beliefs only on the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, or what God desires you to know. Believe and do all the steps needed to enter His plan and receive salvation. Believe that the Scriptures are the very authority and Word of God, so that when the Scriptures speak, it is God speaking. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." 1 Corinthians 15:3b and 4, "The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." The Bible, as God's highest and ultimate authority, means that it alone brings God's revelation to man. Other authorities on the earth can only represent and interpret the Bible to man. Church leaders may help you understand the Bible, but you must use only the Holy Bible as God's highest authority on the earth for the basis for your faith. The Holy Bible alone is God's truth and gives His plan for your life. Step 2. Believe the fact that you are a sinner and a spiritual lawbreaker. Believe that you are in need of salvation and without ability to satisfy God's justice for your sins. Accept the fact that you are unrighteous, unable, and without spiritual discernment to live a perfect and holy life by your own resources. This results in your being a spiritual lawbreaker, which means to be a sinner. This means that you have transgressed the laws of God. As a result, you do not have God's spiritual life, and now you are under His condemnation and will face judgment. This means you are residing without God's spiritual life of enablement and cannot go to be with Him in eternity. Ephesians 2:1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." This you must believe for God to help you. Otherwise, you may not see that you have need of a Savior from your sin. Or you may believe that God will somehow take care of you. Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, not even one." Romans 3:9c, "For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks, all people, are all under sin." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23a, "For the wages of sin is death." God wants you to repent of your sin. This means He desires you to agree with Him, admitting that you are a sinner and that your sin is wrong and requires judgment. All persons are sinners and have fallen short of God's absolute perfection. Step 3. Believe that Christ is the Son of God. Believe that He had unique qualifications to satisfy the justice of God for your sin. Believe that Christ is the Son of God, and that He came down from heaven by being conceived in a virgin by the Holy Spirit of God. Being born of the Holy Spirit was necessary for Him to bring His divine nature with Him and avoid being born with the fallen, sinful nature of mankind. Since He was born of God in mankind, He was born with both a divine and a human nature. But He was not born with a fallen nature, as all the rest of mankind have been. John 1:1 and 14a, "In the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Luke 1:34, 35, and 38, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God.' And Mary said, 'Behold the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.'" Christ, being without a fallen nature, lived a perfect life. This uniquely qualified Him to satisfy completely the justice of God for all the sins of all persons who will ever live, past, present, or future. No other person has these credentials. Step 4. Believe that Christ is the Son of God and the only one permanently resurrected from the dead. After living a perfect life and dying on the cross, Christ was declared with power to be the very Son of God by His bodily resurrection from the dead. Romans 1:4, "Who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead." Afterwards, He ascended into heaven, where He was given all of power and authority over heaven and earth. 1 Peter 3:22, "Who, Lord Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to Him." Ephesians 1:20-22, "Which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church. Christ, being the Son of God, is unique in power and ability. Colossians 1:15-18. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. No other person than Christ can make these claims. Step 5. Believe that Christ satisfied God's justice for your sin. Believe that because Christ has unique qualifications, he died on the cross to satisfy completely God's justice for your personal transgressions of his laws. Believe that Christ became sin for you on the cross, and there died to satisfy God's justice for your sins, was buried, and rose bodily from the dead on the third day. In this act, he completely satisfied the justice of God for your transgressions of God's spiritual laws. In doing this, he is called the Savior, for he does the saving of mankind by paying the penalty for their sin. In this process, the perfect pure blood of Christ was used to purge sins as he died in a substitutionary death on your behalf. You must accept his act on your behalf, for you can do nothing on your own to satisfy God's justice. Romans 4:24-25. But for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 1:7a. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Christ has unique qualifications to satisfy God's justice for your sin. Step 6. Believe that Christ himself and his work is the only and exclusive way to God and salvation. It is important to believe salvation is only possible through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only person who is the Son of God. His work on the cross for sin with his bodily resurrection from the dead is the only and exclusive way that God accepts for the satisfaction of his justice for sin. This is true because only Christ came down from heaven and lived a perfect life which qualified him to satisfy God's justice for sin. Only Christ is God. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For as there is no other name than the Lord Jesus Christ under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, God, but through me. You must choose the work of Christ for the satisfaction of God's justice and not rest on your own works or life as being acceptable to God. You must be careful to see that God only accepts his own works in Christ in his death on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the dead. Titus 3:5-7. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This means that you must reject anything you do, including any personal works, water baptism, and becoming a church member, as efforts to satisfy God's justice for your sins. God only accepts the death and resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the payment for your sin. Step 7. You must personally believe and accept for yourself that Christ died for your sin. Believe and accept for yourself the fact that the work and death of Christ on the cross and His bodily resurrection from the dead on the third day was for your sin, your transgression of God's spiritual laws. Accept by faith the fact that Christ died for your sin on the cross according to the Scriptures and rose bodily from the dead on the third day. Believe that this gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Believe it was done for you personally. Even though Christ died for the sins of all persons, it is not placed to your personal account until you personally receive this gospel from God by your free will and faith. This you can do as He draws you to Him. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." 1 Corinthians 15:3b and 4. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. John 6:44. No one can come to Me, Christ, unless the Father who sent Me draws him. God saves you by your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin, and in His bodily resurrection from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. Scriptures teach that you must personally believe in Christ and His work on the cross and in His bodily resurrection from the dead for your salvation. Romans 10:9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Acts 16:30 and 31a. And after He brought them out, He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." God saves you by His love and grace. Step 8. As a demonstration of your faith in the gospel, pray to God saying that you believe His Scriptures. God saves you by your faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alone as you believe from your heart. Your faith, to be genuine, must have action to produce results. Therefore, pray to God to demonstrate that your faith in God, the gospel of Christ, and the Scriptures is genuine. Tell Him that you believe His Scriptures and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. You may cite those Scriptures upon which you are basing your faith. Ask Him to save you based on your faith in the work of Christ, not based on anything that you do. Make the Scriptures the only authority of your belief. As you act from your faith by a prayer, you are demonstrating it to be alive and genuine so God can respond to your faith. Romans 10:13, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Matthew 21:22, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." James 2:26b, "Faith without works, demonstration or action, is dead." You come to God because you are seeking to have a personal relationship with Him as the new director of your life. This means you desire and are willing to obey Him in every area of your life. Pray this example personal prayer from your heart to be saved, demonstrating your genuine faith. With the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, I believe that I am a sinner and a spiritual lawbreaker, as your scriptures teach. Therefore, I need a Savior because I realize I cannot satisfy your justice for my sin. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to be born of a virgin as the Son of God by your Holy Spirit with a divine nature. He did not have a fallen nature, which all people have. This allowed him to live without sin, which no other person can do. I believe this uniquely qualified him to satisfy your justice for all my sin. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin and was buried and rose bodily from the dead on the third day according to your scriptures. I believe that Christ's death and his resurrection satisfied completely your justice for my sin, and there is nothing else to do. Now save me as you promised and enable me to grow spiritually as I believe. I ask this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I accept as my Lord to demonstrate my genuine faith. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayer of faith. Amen. As you pray, you may wish to cite scriptures to God upon which you are basing your faith. Think of the conviction you have of their truth as you pray. You may wish to add a few personal words of the feeling of your heart. God saves you by your faith. Your prayer demonstrates your faith is genuine. When salvation happens, the Bible calls it being born again. God works in you to bring you salvation when you genuinely believe in Christ as Savior. When God works to save you and allows you to walk with Him, the Bible calls it being born again. Being born again, you will begin to see life now through the eyes of God as you read the Bible rather than just through the eyes of man. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. Being born again, you are now a different person, and are free from God's condemnation and judgment for lawbreaking. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You were born into the world with a fallen, sinful nature that doesn't seek after God. To go to heaven and be with God, you must be born again with a new divine nature that seeks after God. Salvation is forever. Having truly believed in Christ as Savior, you are assured of having eternal life. If you genuinely have believed in your heart and have demonstrated having genuine faith using a prayer for your salvation, you can know positively that you have eternal life based on the authority of the Scriptures. God gave you eternal life when He caused you to be born again. Having eternal life, you will live for eternally with God in heaven after death. Therefore, now live depending upon the reality that you are saved. This you can know because the Scriptures say it is so, because you have believed on the name of the only Son of God. Live depending on the fact that now you have eternal life with God based on the authority of the Scriptures. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. 2 John 1:2, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Having eternal life, you will go to be with God forever. You can never lose your salvation. You can know your faith is genuine when you and others notice a change in your life and attitudes. You must be a new person and have new insights from the Bible to know that God has worked in you to bring you salvation. At the time you are saved, God enables you to fulfill his plan of growing to become the person he intends. But you must cooperate with him as you live your life. God does the following when you believe and are saved. 1. He makes you a new creature or person. This gives you understanding of his scriptures and the ability to choose to obey him and his scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2. Through what the Bible calls spiritual baptism, he makes the fallen nature no longer to have continuous control over your life. You no longer always have to sin. You can now choose to walk by faith in him to work all things together for good in your life. Romans 6:4a, 6b. Therefore, we have been buried with him through spiritual baptism into death, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. 3. He now lives and works within you with his Holy Spirit to guide you to spiritual maturity as you cooperate to do his will and work. He leads you to apply the correct scriptures. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. 4. He seals you with his Holy Spirit as a promise to take you to be with him forever after death and the judgment. This means you will never lose your salvation. It gives you eternal security. Ephesians 1:13b. Having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. God works within you and encourages you to become the person he intends after you are saved. This allows you to fulfill his plan for your life. Be sure you do these. Make a commitment to obey and live your life now for Christ in a definite presentation of yourself to God. Now that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and are part of his church, make a definite decision to live for him and his purposes. The Bible calls it presenting yourself as an instrument of righteousness and as a living sacrifice. That is, in a definite act of obedience, present yourself to God in a prayer. Tell him that with his help you are now committing your life to be lived for him and for his work. Romans 6:13b. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Romans 12:1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. Become water baptized as a public confession and testimony of your salvation in Christ, and of your presentation of yourself to God to live for Christ and his purposes. You should become water baptized. It is your public confession, testimony, and presentation of yourself that you have already believed in Christ as Savior and that you now plan to live for him. It is your personal testimony to others that you have become united with Christ, have died to your old life, and have been spiritually resurrected to a new life in Christ. To be water baptized is a commandment of Christ. It requires you to take a public stand in your faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will want to do this based on your joy, love, and new allegiance to him. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make a commitment to live your life for God. What to do next? You are now to grow in maturity as you live your life. As a new Christian, you will now begin to grow toward spiritual maturity. This you do as you are faith obedient to God, using his commandments in his scriptures. When you do this, you will learn to trust him to work all things together for your ultimate good in your life. God will guide you in all life situations. It requires you to obey God using his scriptures to demonstrate that your faith is genuine and alive, while you trust God to do his part according to the scriptures. You became a Christian by faith. You are to live the Christian life by faith. As a true believer, your life will bear fruit, which will consist of good works or deeds in response to God's guidance. This demonstrates you are saved. You should now have a strong interest in reading and obeying the Bible and doing what God desires. God will allow your faith walk to be tested in trials and testings for genuineness and to develop your spiritual maturity. James 1:2-4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking in nothing. Growing towards spiritual maturity requires you to trust God rather than yourself, to work all things together in your life for your ultimate good. He will do this if you keep his commandments from your love for him and become involved in his work from his purpose for your life. This takes time to learn and is a growth process. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, obey his commandments, and live under his authority, to those who are called according to his purpose, being involved in his work. You will grow towards maturity as you learn to trust God to act on your ultimate behalf. As you do, you fulfill the plan of God. Attend worship services with other believers in Christ. As a new believer, you are now part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and a Christian. The biblical Church of Christ is composed of all who believe in his gospel for salvation. All who attend churches may not be believers. Attend worship services with other believers on a regular basis and worship God. Participate in the Lord's Supper, which he instituted right before his crucifixion, as a memorial to his death and looking forward to his coming again to take you to be with him. Pray to God regularly, giving praise and worship to him, asking him to help others, seeking personal guidance, and giving thanks for the many ways he has benefited your life. Read his scriptures daily to learn and obey his will, commandments, and promises. This will help to grow towards spiritual maturity. Become involved in sharing the gospel with others and in his discipleship work with other believers, helping them to grow to spiritual maturity. This will help you to please God and to know him better and to have fellowship with other believers. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Matthew 28:19a. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Acts 1:8b. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. God desires that you worship him throughout your lifetime. As you do, you fulfill the plan of God. Do not overlook the fact that you will still sin. Realize that as a Christian, you will still sin. You may desire not to sin, but because you lack perfect maturity, you will sin and break spiritual laws. Romans 7:15. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Therefore, as you learn to walk with God, you must learn to obey his commandments. This is a growth process. God now treats you as a family member and desires to help you all he can. So he desires you to stay in fellowship with him. Staying in fellowship means that you continue to keep his commandments and trust him to guide your life. It means that you don't have plans to continue sinning. Regularly confess your sins to God in a prayer with a repentant heart to maintain his fellowship. Maintain or restore broken fellowship with God by confessing your sin to God in prayer. This allows you to remain in fellowship with him as he forgives and cleanses you from sin and all unrighteousness. He will cleanse you if you have a change of heart about your sin, a repentant heart, and do not plan to continue in it. This is the way he will still use you in his work when you live an imperfect life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stay in fellowship with God by confessing your sin and keeping his commandments, and he will guide you to his ultimate goals for your life. the alternative to salvation in Christ. If you do not believe in Christ, the demands of God's justice require you to go to the lake of fire after death, to suffer eternally from the judgment. What happens to you after you die if you do not accept the plan of God? There you will experience 1. Excruciating pain of being in fire, lake of fire, and being tormented continuously forever and ever. Matthew 13:30, Matthew 25:41-46, Revelation 20:10-15, Revelation 21:8. 2. Being in spiritual and physical darkness. You will not be able to see anything, nor will you know of spiritual things. You will not even know why God has forsaken you, similarly as happened to Christ. Whatever spiritual light you had will be taken away from you. Matthew 8:12, Matthew 13:12, Matthew 25:29-30, Matthew 27:45-50, Mark 15:33-37, Luke 13:28, Luke 19:26, Luke 23:44-46. 3. Being all alone without ever again seeing another person for all eternity. This is true because you will be placed in great darkness or blackness. There will not be physical light of any type or amount. Matthew 27:45-46. Luke 23:45-46. Mark 15:33-34. 2 Peter 2:17. Jude 12:13. 4. Varying degrees of punishment depending upon the degree of light or knowledge of the truths of God and Christ which you disobeyed. Matthew 10:14-15. Matthew 11:20-24. Matthew 26:24. Mark 14:21. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Revelation 20:12-13. 5. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:12. Matthew 24:51. Matthew 25:30. In eternity, the unbeliever loses all light, both physically and spiritually. The believer loses all darkness, both physically and spiritually. The future. In eternity, you will bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must know that whether or not you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will bow your knee before Him and declare Him Lord voluntarily, either because you love and worship Him or because of your awe of who and what He is. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore also God highly exalted Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The present. Be involved in God's ministry of reconciliation by sharing the gospel of Christ. You can use this booklet. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20a. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. Demonstrate your genuine faith with a prayer. Have you responded to God? If you have not, you are without excuse in the coming judgment after your death and resurrection. Romans 1:19-20. If you would like additional copies of this tape, you may write to John Stevenson and Associates, 1111 West El Camino Real, number 109-396, Sunnyvale, California, 94087. Or you may make your own copy from this tape.